Okay. So I want to talk tonight a little bit of following on the heels of what we spoke about last week about Shalom Zachar. So the next step is really the Vachnacht. Now I'll just mention very, very quickly, if you look at source number one, there is a thing that the Sfardim do, which is called a Zeved Bat. So I'm not intimately familiar with this ceremony, party, but it's some sort of a party for the birth of a baby girl. They call it a Zeved Bat. They do it specifically. They don't do it, you know, the night of the 8th, which is when, you know, we gather for the for a Bris Milah, but they do it, for example, the Ben Ish Chai and the Rav Pa'olim in source number 1 writes Leil Hashishi Leledat. So he says the night of the sixth day after the baby is born, they make this this party. So they make some sort of a simcha. They call it a zeved bat. You know, sometime I don't know if everybody does it the night of the sixth, but that's the way he brings it. This is a Sephardi custom. So if you hear of this custom, there is such a Sephardi custom called the zeved bat. Whether they do it exactly then or they do it another time, you know, it might depend on a particular custom, but there is such a custom. Now, the custom that we're more familiar with is is what we call the Vachnacht. Now, a Vachnacht has different, variations. Usually something involves children saying Shema, you know, with Pekalach and giving them candy, something along those lines. That's pretty much what we know in terms of a Vachnacht. But there's some very interesting sources for this ceremony on the night before the Bris Milah. If you look at we'll talk about that. Good, we'll talk about that. So if you look at source number 2, there's on the bottom of the Tamei HaMinhagim. The Tamei HaMinhagim is a sefer that's full of different minhagim and explaining the reasons for different minhagim. So on the bottom, there's a commentary called the Kuntres Acharon. So on the bottom of the Kuntres Acharon, he writes as follows. He writes La'asos Seuda. So he talks about a Seuda, which we'll talk about making literally a Seuda on the night before the Bris Milah. Right? We know we make a Seuda on the morning of the Bris Milah, right? But the night before, but that's what he mentions, this custom to make a Seuda. We also guard the kid. You have to guard the child, protect him. Vehatam, lefi shehasatan mechavein lahazik hanar ulemon omi mitzvas mila. He said the satan is after this kid the night before the mila. Why? Lefi shekashelo sheyisro mekayimin hamitzvah shebeschusa nitzolin medina shel gehenem. Mila is such an important mitzvah. Right, we know Mila is one of the most important mitzvahs of the Jewish people. It's something that throughout the centuries, throughout all the persecution, that's kept us going. The mitzvah of Mila, we do it in secret, we do it in public, right? We always kept to this mitzvah of Mila. So the Satan is scared. Another Jewish baby is going to have a Bris Mila. I'm going to be out of a job. So he's working overtime, right? He stays up late that night working overtime trying to get to this kid. So therefore, we have to protect the child as well. Usmach ledavar. Ve'ata esbrisi tishmor, the pasuk, which is obviously in the literal interpretation, not talking about a bris milah, but we darshan, we learn that it's referring to a bris milah, shebashas habris tzrichin shmira, according to Mata Moshe. That at the time of the bris, around the time of the bris, you need a shmira. You need shmira. So this is a night when we have, and this is really the source of all of these minhagim that we do the night before the bris milah. So it's really for this concept of shmira, of watching out for the baby. Somebody saw that I was talking about this topic, so they dropped off in my house some pages. I don't know what kind of book it's from, but there's all of this mystical lore about the night before the Bris Milah, that the Malach HaMaves comes, and Eliyahu HaNavi is trying to ward off the Malach HaMaves, and Lilith. You know, some of you might be familiar with this concept of Lilith, who's one of the demons, and there's three angels, and all of this very, very spooky, very Kabbalistic type stuff about the night before the Bris Milah. I read it, I was floored, you know, by this kind of stuff. And then there was the person had attached an article that actually compared some of these traditions of like the demons and things like that to traditions in other religions. So that's not exactly what we're gonna talk about. There might be some spooky, you know, kind of more mystical type stuff out there. But even the regular sources seem to point to some degree of protection, some degree of shmira, even if you don't go with all the spooky, you know, heebie-jeebie demons, but at least you know the Satan. The Satan, okay, the Satan's the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, you know, that we're familiar with, so he's at least out to get the child. Some people also, based on all of these ayin haras, and they're nervous, so they'll put all sorts of things. They hang chamsas, you know, the five, that picture of the hand. People put red bendels, you know, all over the kid. They wrap the kid, I don't know, they wrap him in red bendels. Again, if this is your, if these are your minhagim and you're of the more mystical type school of thought, that's fine. You know, personally, I kind of favor the more rationalist version of things. So this is one I still remember when my oldest son, I mean, Baruch Hashem, I've made five brisim already. When my oldest son had his bris, so my mother-in-law, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have a fantastic relationship. My mother-in-law came at him with a red bendel, and I said, "Away with the red bendel! I don't want any red bendels on my kid." So we had a little conversation the night before the bris, in terms of the red bendels. But in the end of the day, it's all different minhagim. And again, some people have some people are a little bit more mystical, so they get very nervous, they get very scared, and they want to do all these. All these segulos and things to keep away the shmira, but you have the more rationalist school, which also deals with it just in a more rationalist type of way.
Having kids saying Shema, Why not have adults saying Shema? I can't hurt that a kid says.
So look, if you look, the Sefer Bris Avos actually brings this minhag that you just mentioned, and he writes, Tove yofe haminag mashenoag, and this is source number 3, b'medinos Poland. He quotes the minhag. This was the minhag in Poland. He says this was a class outing. This was a school trip, right? The Rebbe used to take the kids after yeshiva, the night before the mila. He would take the kids in his class, and he would go visit the woman who had just given birth. V'korin sham kriyashma. They would say kriyashma. V'omrim ha'pasuk v'hinoam yoshev b'seiser at sofo. They would say this v'hinoam yoshev b'seiser. Which we also say at night, Kriya Shema Lamita. It also has to do with the concept of protection. Upasik HaMalach HaGoel, right, which that pasuk is certainly apropos. HaMalach HaGoel Osimi Korah, right, the angel that protects me from everything. Hu Yivarech Es HaNe'arim. He should bless the children. So that's certainly an appropriate pasuk. V'zos Hivadai Segula Me'ula Ubeduka. He says, this is a great segula. It's tried and true. This is a tried and true segula. And he says, what's the idea? What's so special, right? Like Stewie's asking, what's so special about these kids? So says the Sefer Bris Avos, no offense to you adults out there, but he says, when you have little Jewish children saying Kriyashma, that's really going to get all of these evil spirits, all the bad stuff, that's going to drive it right out of the house. Adults, maybe not. But kids, you have little Jewish children saying Kriya Shema, little Jewish children saying these psukim, forget about it. They have no chance. They have no chances. He goes, segula, beduka, umenusa, right? This is a meula, ubeduka. This is a tried and true. So, you know, the concept is that when you have children, children are pure. You have a little Jewish child, right? I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday who teaches high school. In the summer, he teaches first grade. And he said, there's nothing better that when you get your first grade class davening, and these kids are screaming at the top of their lungs, and they're screaming Moda Ani and Matovu, he says it's like Gan Eden. It's, you know, just listening to little Jewish children davening with such a purity. You know, adults, we're half asleep, we're schlepping along. You know, our davening is not so impressive necessarily. Little kids, you know, they're davening with all they got. This is from such a pure place. So he says that's the idea of the minhag of bringing these children. Nowadays, obviously, we don't do it in the same exact way. We don't have a class trips. You know, the Rebbe doesn't come usually. But usually, you know, families come. Families will bring their kids and will say Shema. Again, he brings different minhagim of saying these other psukim, Yoshe B'Seser, HaMalach HaGoel. HaMalach, I think that the minhag is to do. Yoshe B'Seser, I haven't seen too much. But maybe maybe there are some people who do it. So that's one aspect, again, of this Shmira. So this is a little bit of a more Litvish, a little bit of a more rationalist school of thought in terms of the Shmira. Forget the red bendels and the Hamsas, but let's just, we'll say Kriya Shema, we'll say Vihinom, we'll say Hamalach HaGoel, bring in the kids, you know, bring in the reserves. So it's very interesting. The Zohar, and I'll admittedly, I have not been mekayim this Zohar, but the Zohar writes that, you know, another great way to protect this child the night before his milah, what does he say? Be'ahu laila, be'ahu lelia, in source number 4. Kana shahu gavra kol inun rechimui v'chola hulelia ishtadlu be'oraisa. He says the father of the child should gather all of his family and friends, and what should they do? Learn all night, right? Learn all night. V'lo hava mandanoim. Nobody's going to sleep. Tonight we're going to learn the whole night. Shavuos, right? Leil Shavuos, the night before the milah. And this is brought in many, many svarim, that the minhag that the father stays up the night before the milah. I haven't been zocha to do it. It's been too difficult. You know, usually you're running on empty almost by the time the eighth day comes along after having a baby. But here, this is the minhag. You stay up all night and you learn. That's the greatest shmirah. Forget all the red bengals and forget the hamsas and forget all these things. Stay up and learn Torah, right? Right by the, you know, by the bedside or in the house, whatever the case is. That's the greatest shmirah for the child the night before. Some svarim actually bring that there's a minhag to have a minion of people learning Torah the night before in the house. You know, okay, so, you know, that minhag I have not really seen. The minhag of the father staying up, I've heard of. It's not so common because it's difficult, but I have heard of that minhag. It's a famous minhag. That's the ultimate shmirah. Just coming back to the Seuda, we find also in the Elia Rabbah, in source number 5, he also brings this concept of the Seuda. He mentions it in the name of the Nachla Shiva, and he writes, Laila shalifnei mila mazmin ha-moel v'ha-sandik u-sha'ar krovim v'o'avim, and he writes, v'havi sudas mitzvah. He calls it a Seudas Mitzvah. He says, you make a whole Seuda, right? Like Kivi's saying here, with Cholent and Kugel and everything, you make a whole Seuda, and you invite everyone, you invite the Moel and the Sandik, right? You invite everyone to this party. Ubagos Maimonios, Perakalf Milchos Brachos, Kosa Velaila Shalifni Amila, Regilin Likvo Atzmon, Ala Yayin Viala Peros. He also brings, he doesn't say Cholent and Kugel, but he also brings, he says, wine and fruit. You know, they would eat at the house. It's very interesting. It some of the Sfarim bring minhagim. A lot of these things surrounding the Bris Milah are many, many minhagim. Most of these are minhagim. They're not real halachos. You know, we'll get to some of the halachos of Bris Milah, but there's you know, hundreds of different minhagim that surround the whole ceremony of the Bris Milah. It's very interesting. So some of them actually bring that originally the minhag was that the sandik, I believe it was the sandik, that the sandik, who's also considered, the sandik is considered one of the balei simcha, right? It's a tremendous schus. We'll talk not this week, maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about sandik and what that means. But it's a tremendous simcha. This the simcha of sandik, and that he's one of the balei simcha. That's the avi haben, obviously the father of the child. The sandik and the moel, the three of them are considered the balei simcha. That's why a moel never recites tachanun, right? No matter, even if he's davening in a different minyan. Right, he's davening in a different minyan, but it's a yantif for him, so he doesn't say tachanun. So you have moelim who, like, they go their whole lives, you know, barely saying tachanun, because, you know, they have you have a busy moel who has a couple brisim a week.
He's becoming a moel.
Yeah, exactly. So good luck. You know, you also get free breakfast, by the way. So it's great. It's a great deal. So it's a yantif. So it used to be that the sandik used to actually host the party. The night before the milah, the day of the milah, so the family makes it. But the night before, it used to be the minhag that the sandik would make a party in honor of his kavod, his simcha. It's a tremendous thing. So that's the, you know, again, that minhag has seemed to gone by the wayside. I think people were kind of probably saying no to sandikos because they didn't want to have to make a party. So that kind of went by the wayside. But I guess, you know, you still have in some circles, they still make a party with food the night before. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the order of the Bris Milah. We'll talk about some of the kibudim next time. It's interesting, the kibudim. We'll talk about that next time. But tonight let's talk just about the order of the actual Bris Milah itself. So it's very interesting. We start, right, once the kvater, and again we'll talk about some of the kibudim next week. Once the kvater brings the baby in. So what's the first thing that we do? What's the first thing that we say? Baruch Haba. Baruch Haba, which is interesting, by the way, if you think about it, because that's also the first thing we say at a chasana, when the chasana and kala come down. We also say Baruch Haba, right? But here it's obviously for a different purpose. So we say Baruch Haba. It's interesting, this minhag is brought It's a very, very early minhag. It's brought already in the times of the Rishonim, in the Avudram, in source number 6, and many other Rishonim bring this as well. And he writes, V'nagush kishemachnisin hayedlo demakom havad lemulo, when you bring the child into the gathering place to give the child the milah, Omer hamoel b'kol ram baruch haba. The moel says out loud, baruch haba. V'ha'am onin b'shem Hashem. That I haven't seen. Right, that minhag did not really make it, at least into Nusach Ashkenaz. We don't do this. We don't say b'shem Hashem. But the Avudram brings that the congregation responds b'shem Hashem. So why do they say this baruch haba? V'hatam, because if you think about it, right, if you pay attention, so some of the moalim will say baruch haba, baruch hanimo lishmona, right? Blessed is the child who is being gemalt. He's given his milah on the eighth day. Right, so he writes, "V'hatam baruch hanimo lishmona yamim kiminyan hey beis aleph." Says the gematria of haba hey beis aleph is 8. So baruch haba is really a hint to baruch hanimo lishmona. Blessed is this child who's getting his milah on the eighth day. So that's why we say baruch haba when we bring the child in. The next thing that's said is a pasuk in Tehillim, if you look at source number 7. Ashrei tivchar usekarev, yishkon chatzeirecha, nisba'a betuv beisecha, kedosh heichalecha. This is a pasuk that we recite. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Kapitel Samechei. And that's the next pasuk that the Moel recites. It's based on the Zohar. Why specifically this pasuk? It's not so clear. Ashrei tivchar usekarev, yishkon chatzeirecha. Perhaps the idea is also somebody coming close, you know, residing in the chatzar, in the courtyard of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this child, that's essentially what he's doing. He's getting his bris milah, and he's coming to reside in the courtyard of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps that's the idea behind the reciting of this pasuk. It's interesting, you know. Again, many many different minhagim here, but the Moel says Ashrei tivchar sekarev yishkon chatzeirecha. In some places, the tzibur concludes the pasuk and they say nisba bituv beisecha kedosh heichalecha. Nowadays, usually just the moel says the whole thing. If you notice, at this point in Eretz Yisrael, they have an interesting minhag, and it's based on different early sfarim. I don't think from the times of the Rishonim, but from the times of the Acharonim, you have sfarim that bring these minhagim, and the minhagim is to say a few things. Number one, Shema Yisrael. Okay, so if you've ever been to a bris milah in Eretz Yisrael, you say they might say Shema Yisrael. That's number one. Then they say twice Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vaed. They say that twice. Then they say Ana Hashem Hoshiana twice, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana twice. Again, these are things that are all based on minhagim. We do not have that minhag here in America. You're never going to see that. But in Eretz Yisrael, I shouldn't say never. You never know, but certainly in our circles, we don't have that minhag to say that. Just as an aside, just a cute story. My favorite story of a bris in Eretz Yisrael. I went to a couple brisim when I was there studying for the year. So I remember one time we went to a bris, and the food was set out already before the bris. It was happening all in the same room as where the food was going to be. And we're standing there, and there's an Israeli guy who's eating. The bris hadn't happened yet, and he's noshing on whatever the cakes or pastries. And after a few minutes of eating, he turns around and he says, "Yesh britka?" He says, "Is there a bris here?" So that was my favorite Israeli bris story. But you have that sometimes in America also. Again, we don't have this custom, but Minhag Sfard says the psukim. In the beginning of the Pesukim related to Pinchas at this point. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es chamasim yal b'nei Yisrael, b'kanov es kinasi b'socham, v'lo chiliyis es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi, l'chein emor hinanin osein lo es brisi shalom. So Nusach Ashkenaz is really not to say that, but Nusach Sfard, they do recite it. If you think about it, it's kind of a strange thing. Why are we talking about Pinchas? It's true that he used a sharp object, but he did something else with the sharp object. He shishkebabbed Cosby and Zimri. But why are we saying this at a bris? What's the connection between Pinchas and the bris? The brisi shalom seemingly has to do with kahuna. It's not talking about the bris milah. Brisi shalom is referring to the kahuna, the covenant of kahuna. So some say that it's based on the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Pinchas. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Pinchas in source number 8, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Right? We know the Medrash tells us that Pinchas and Eliyahu were the same person. Pinchas and Eliyahu were the same person. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Amar like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata nasata shalom ben Yisrael ubeini ba'olam hazeh. He says, you, Pinchas, you caused there to be peace between me and the Jewish people in this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very upset. The Jews were sinning with the Benos Midian. Pinchas got up. He killed Cosby and Zimri. He stopped it right then and there. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Yashikoach, you created peace between me and the Jewish people. Afla asid lavo atahu sha'asid liten shalom beini levein bonai. So too, in the end of days, you're going to be the one that's going to create that shalom between me and my children. Shneimar hinei anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi. Right, lifnei vo yom Hashem, the famous pasuk. It became a song that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm going to send Eliyahu Hanavi to come bring Mashiach. You're going to be that one." Veheishiv levavos albanim. So some claim that that's maybe why Nusach Sfard has this minug to recite these psukim about Pinchas here, because Pinchas is really Eliyahu, and we'll see in a minute. Eliyahu, we know, plays a very central role at a bris milah. Right, as we're about to see, so Eliyahu plays a central role. Pinchas Eliyahu. I also thought at the end of the Medrash it talks about Veheishiv Leivavos Albanim, right? That the Leivavos will be upon the sons. So perhaps there's no greater mitzvah of a father to son than the mitzvah of Mila. Right here, the father is literally being machnis his son Lemila. It's a tremendous mitzvah bringing him into the covenant of Avram Avinu. It's a tremendous thing. So perhaps that's also alluded to in these words of Veheishiv Leivavos Albanim. After that, in Nusach Ashkenaz, we say the following. The Moel says all of these things. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avram Avinu, Hisalech lefanai veheyei samim. We know Avram Avinu was the first one to get a bris milah, so it makes sense that we're invoking the concept of Avram Avinu here. And at this point, again, depending on the Moel. So some will say now Ehinani Muchanu Mezuman. Right? We know that some people regularly say Ehinani Muchanu Mezuman before many mitzvahs that they do, whether it's Neros Chanukah or Sfiras HaOmer or Netilas Lulav. You have a little paragraph. Some people say L'Shem Yichud Kutshem Bichol Shchintei. You know, Ehinani Muchanu Mezuman. So there are some who say that at this point they say like a little Ehinani Muchanu Mezuman. Some say L'Shem Yichud. Without getting into it, I mean, it's a whole shir unto itself. About L'Shem Yichud, not everybody was so happy. Famously, the Noda Behuda was very upset about this L'Shem Yichud. He said, listen, we don't, the L'Shem Yichud, you know, what does that mean, to unify God? What is that supposed to mean? Who knows what that means, says the Noda Behuda. That's for the Kabbalists. You know, we're simple people. We just do what we're supposed to. We do the mitzvos. You know, we don't unify God. We do the mitzvos, whatever unifying God means. So, you know, so he advocated not to say L'Shem Yichud. Again, if that's your practice, to say L'Shem Yichud, great. But he advocated not to say it, so you might have different practices among Moyalim. Some will say it, some will not say it. Hinani Muchanu Mezuman is pretty benign. That's just essentially getting yourself prepared to do the mitzvah. Again, many people don't do that either, but that's okay. And then there also is this custom to say the pasuk of Yehi Noam, which we see the concept of Yehi Noam appearing again and again. We had it the night before the bris. Now we see it again at the bris. It's interesting that the Zohar in the introduction says in source number 9, this might also be a source as to why the Hinom is so popular around the bris, because the Zohar says, Umase Yadenu Konenehu, the Psukim, right? This Pasuk, which we say in the Hinom, Umase Yadenu Konenehu, Da Baris Kayama de Chasim Bivisra de Barnash. This is referring to the bris milah. This idea of Mase Yadenu Konenehu. Right, that this is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created us with his hands and he fashioned us. So it's referring to the bris milah. We essentially have that last step of in the creation of man, the last step of the bris milah. So perhaps that's also why this plays such a central role here in the surrounding the bris milah. The next step is what we call Kisei Shel Eliyahu. Kisei Shel Eliyahu is essentially it's a very interesting minhag. We generally have a chair set up, which we designate as Kisei Shel Eliyahu. It does not have to say Kisei Shel Eliyahu on it. It doesn't have to be any fancy specific type of chair. You could take two folding chairs. You know, again, usually there are two chairs at the milah. One is for the sandik to sit on, and he's going to hold the baby on his knees as they do the milah. Excuse me. And then the second one is this kisei shel Eliyahu, the chair of Eliyahu. And essentially what we do is we place the baby down onto the kisei shel Eliyahu. Okay, and this is actually, I said we're going to talk about most of the kibudim next week, which we will. I'll just mention this one now, once we're talking about it. But the kisei shel Eliyahu is considered one of the bigger kibudim at the bris milah. The biggest kavod is considered is sandik. That's the biggest kavod at the milah. And the second biggest kavod is kisei shel Eliyahu. This is also one of those funny things. It's almost like a chasana. Sometimes, you know, if you ask me, what's the biggest kibud at a chasana? So you'll say, okay, Masadr Kiddushin maybe, or something like that. But Eidei Kiddushin is extremely important, right? If I would ask you, what's more important at a chasana? Eidei Kiddushin, the witnesses for the Kiddushin, or Sheva Brachos? So most people will say Sheva Brachos, right? Sheva Brachos, you're getting up, you're saying the Sheva Brachos. But from a halachic standpoint, the Eidei Kiddushin are the ones that are those witnesses are integral to the kiddushin. They're not married without those witnesses. Sheva brachos, you know, it's important, you know, but it's not Eidei Kiddushin. But in society, Eidei Kiddushin is a not what we call a non speaking role, and Sheva brachos are a public speaking role. So people have attached importance, more importance to the Sheva brachos because it's a public role. You get up, you can sing and do chazanos and show off your voice, so you have that's more of a public role as opposed to Eidei Kiddushin, which is a mute role. You get up, you just you look, you nod, you know, and that's it. As long as you're watching, it's good. So it's you know, we don't attach as much importance to it, but in fact, it is a little bit more important than the Sheva Brachos. So here too, Kisei Shel Eliyahu is kind of overlooked. You know, the Brachos and Kriya Shem, these are all big kibudim at the Bris Milah. But the Kisei Shel Eliyahu, you're taking the baby, you put him down on the chair. What's the big deal? But it's really a big kavod. And the source of this is really in the Zohar. That's essentially the next step of the bris, is that somebody takes the baby. Again, it all depends on how many kibudim you want. Sometimes with these kind of things, you can you split up into more kibudim. You know, that someone takes the baby from the kvater and puts it on the kisei shel Eliyahu, and they take the baby on the pillow. They literally just put down the pillow onto this kisei shel Eliyahu. Right, you're careful, obviously, as you do it, because you don't want any Rachmana Litzlan, any tragedies. So you're careful as you put the baby down. And it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar writes in source number 10, and this is Zohar Parshas Lech Lecha. You see that a lot of these minhagim are based on the Zohar. I don't usually quote so many Zohars in this shir. You know, I don't know, I'm going to get an interesting reputation for giving like a Kabbalah shir Monday nights. But the Zohar writes here, Amar Rabba Abba, Bezimna debar nosh asik birei la'ale lahai beris. At the time that a person brings his son to a bris milah, to give him a bris milah, kari kuchabrichu lepamalia dilei Hakadosh Baruch Hu calls out to his hosts, his legions, v'yomar chamu my berei avdis ba'alma. Go look, see the tremendous look at this mitzvah that my son is going to do in this world. He's going to give his son a bris milah. Beishaita izdaman Eliyahu v'tas alma b'dalat tasin v'izdaman tamon Eliyahu. Here's the memo. He hears this message that this person is doing a bris. Eliyahu takes his flying carpet and he heads over to the bris milah. V'alda taninan deboi bar nosh l'takana karsaya achara liyikara dilei. And he says that's why we know that you're supposed to designate a specific chair for him, right? That's the kisei shel Eliyahu. You're supposed to designate a specific chair for Eliyahu Anovi. V'yema, and you're supposed to say, you're supposed to proclaim, Da karsaya d'Eliyahu. This is the chair of Eliyahu. V'ilav lo shari tamon. If you don't do that, he's not going to come. He's not going to come. If you don't make him a chair and proclaim that this is his chair, he's not going to come. So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But it's very interesting that we have this custom, and we say zehakise. We say it in Hebrew, obviously, but we say zehakise shel Eliyahu anovi zachor lato. We proclaim that this is the kisei shel Eliyahu. We put the baby down on this kisei. And then we begin to recite, again, the Mo'el is reciting all of these psukim, but the Mo'el recites a whole, several psukim now at this point. He says, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, that I hope for your salvation, Hashem. Many of the Mefarshim explain that these psukim are really like a short little tefillah that the Mo'el says before doing the Milah. He's davening for Siyata Dishmaya, right? He has to, you know, he has to, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to help him do this properly. right? We know, you know, any type of surgery you do, if you mess up, you can really cause big problems. Okay, so he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything goes well, that he does it well. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, I hoped for your salvation, Hashem. Sibarti lishuascha Hashem mitzvosecha. Asisi, I've done your mitzvos. I'm looking forward to your salvation. Then he mentions Eliyahu. Eliyahu malach habris, hinei shelcha lefanecha amod al yimini v'samcheni. Right, he says, Eliyahu Anavi, you're the malach habris. Come help me, right? Stand next to me to my right, on my right side, and come help me out. And then he repeats, which he already said, Sibarti lishuascha Hashem. Now some of the Mefarshim say, why does he repeat that? He just said, Sibarti lishuascha Hashem. Because once he mentions Eliyahu, the Mo'el wants to emphasize that really the one who's helping him is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Eliyahu is the Malach, so he's helping him out. But really, the Siyata D'Shmaya is coming from Hashem. So that's why after mentioning Eliyahu, who's the Malach HaBris, he repeats, Sibarti lishuascha Hashem. That really, I know that you're the one who's really looking out for me. Sasanochi alim rasecha kemotze shala rav, which is one of my favorite psukim in Tehillim. We say that I'm rejoicing. Sasanochi alim rasecha, I rejoice over your Torah kemotze shala rav, like a person who finds a treasure. Right, you won the lottery. Right, so you're clicking your heels, you're rejoicing. So that's what we say about the Torah. So the Gemara learns that this pasuk, the Gemara of the Medrash, I can't remember now offhand. It's the Gemara. The Gemara says that this pasuk of Sasanochi Alim Rasecha Kimotse Shalrav is also referring to Bris Mila. It's not just referring to the study of Torah, but it's also referring to Bris Mila. Shalom Rav La'oave Sarasecha Ve'ein Lamo Michshol. Right, those who love your Torah will have peace. Ve'ein Lamo Michshol, and they won't stumble. Right, which again is the Moel saying a little tefillah. I don't want to stumble. Right, make sure that I do this properly. Ashrei Tivchar Sekar Vishkon Chatzerach and Nizavim Tuvesecha Kedosh Shechalecha, which he already said. Okay, so that's the those are the psukim. It's again, it's like a short little tefillah that the Moel says before doing the actual bris milah. At this point, they put the baby, or they take the baby from the kisei shel Eliyahu, and they put the baby on the knees of the tzaddik. We'll talk about tzaddik. It's a whole interesting parsha. We'll talk about it next week. It's a whole interesting inyan. So he puts the baby on the knees of the tzaddik. The Moel then gets, you know, sets up for the bris milah, right? He's got to get everything ready for the bris milah once the baby is set on the knees of the tzaddik. And once everything is set, so the Moel is now ready to do the mitzvah. Now it's interesting. Usually you do a mitzvah, so what do? We make a bracha before. When it comes to milah, so there's a minhag that before the Moel makes the bracha, he actually makes another proclamation. And there's different minhagim as to how it's done. So Rabbi Perlstein, who's done several of my children, and I'm sure you've seen him at other places, so I know that his minhag is that he says, Os Beris Kodesh, right? That's what he proclaims. You might ring a bell that I'm saying it, right? Os Beris Kodesh. He says it right before he does the milah. Os Beris Kodesh, that this is the sign of the Holy Bris. There's other different minhagim. Some people just say Bris, Bris Kodesh. Some say longer Nusach. But they make some sort of a proclamation that they're about to do the Bris. That's the minhag. And then he makes the bracha of Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav Tzivanu Al Hamilah. And I spoke about this at length Shabbos afternoon, right after I had my son. So I'm not going to talk about this at length right now. But just to mention very briefly, there are two brachos that are recited. Right, so very briefly, the procedure of the milah is that the moel cuts and then he peels. He does what's called the priya. Right, he peels the membrane, which is called the priya, the milah and the priya. And those two parts of the mitzvah are both essential parts of the mitzvah. So the moel, before he does anything, right, he's got his knife. He's about to cut. He says, "Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al hamilah." That's a birchas hamitzvah. So just like before we do any mitzvah, we shake lulav, we make a bracha, we blow shofar, we make a bracha. So we do a bris milah, we make a bracha. Now here, the interesting thing is that right after the moel makes his bracha, immediately he cuts, and then right away, but right before he does the priya, the father makes the bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu la'achniso b'viso shel Avraham Avinu. Now this is a very strange bracha, because what role is it serving? Right, what role is this bracha serving? And we discussed at length the nature of this bracha and whether it's over lasiyas or not over lasiyas, and does it come before the mitzvah, does it not come before the mitzvah. But what it seems to be is that, you know, you might argue that it's a birchas hashevach. We know there are different types of brachas. You have a bracha that's on a mitzvah, that's a birchas hamitzvah. Then you have a birchas hashevach, which is a bracha that you use to praise Hashem. You hear lightning, you hear thunder, you see lightning, you say a birchas hashevach. There's no mitzvah. You're saying a bracha to praise Hashem for the wonders that He created in this world. So you might want to claim that this is a Birchas HaShevach, similar to what we say in the morning when we say Birchas HaTorah, we make two brachos. Asher Kedoshah Mitzvot V'Tzivanot Lasok B'Divrei Torah, which is the Birchas HaMitzvah, and then we say Asher B'Chabarnu Mikol HaAmim. What's that bracha? That seems to be a Birchas HaShevach. Right? We're thanking Hashem that He chose us as the nation from all the other nations. So the problem is that it's hard to say that this is a Birchas HaShevach. Why? Because the language of the bracha is Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu. That's not the language of a Birchas HaShevach. Right? Asher B'chabanu Mikol HaAmim. We say, Shekocho Gvurosam Alei Olam. Osam Asab Reishis. We don't say Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu. That language is the language of a Birchas HaMitzvah. So what it seems to be is that this is a very unique type of bracha. It seems to me that this is really like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Right, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's a special Birchas HaMitzvah. Right, even though the Mohel already made his Birchas HaMitzvah, but since the father is beginning this procedure of Mila, and as we spoke about that Shabbos, that this is really the beginning, this is the first mitzvah, the whole series of mitzvos that a father has to do for his son, Mila Pidyon HaBen, if the child is a firstborn, and then you got to teach him Torah, you got to get him married, you got to teach him a trade, all the mitzvos that the father has to do for his son, this is the first one. So this is a special Birchas HaMitzvah for the father, which is being said, right, kind of in the middle of the Mila, Lachnisa B'Viso Shel Avram Avinu. So that's the bracha that we say. In Eretz Yisrael, and Sfardim, I believe, also say this, they also make the bracha of Shechianu. Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Yonu L'Zman HaZeh. There's a machlokas Rishonim, if you should make a bracha of Shechianu at a Mila. The argument against Shechianu is that there's a lot of, the kids in pain. Right, so as much as Shechianu, we usually reserve for a very happy time. It's a Yanta, for a Yanta we say Shechianu. You're happy you got a new suit, you make a Shechianu, a new fruit, you make a Shechianu. Here, the kid's in pain, we shouldn't say Shechianu. In fact, the Gemara says that's why we don't say at the benching, at a Bris Mila, that's why we don't say Shehasimcha Bim'ono, which we say at a Sheva Brachos. Right, Shehasimcha Bim'ono V'Sheachal Mishlo, we have a different Nusach, a different text of the Zimun at a Sheva Brachos. So why don't we do that in a Mila? Shasimcha b'mono. All it means is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy. We're happy, right? So we don't do that because the kid is in pain. At a wedding, nobody's in pain, right? No jokes, please, right? At a wedding, nobody's in pain, right? So here, but at a Bris Mila, the kid just got a Mila, so he's in pain. So the Gemara says, because of Tzara D'Yanuka, because of the pain of this child, so we leave out Shasimcha b'mono. So some say we also leave out Shechianu. And that's Minag Ashkenaz. We don't say Shechianu at a Bris Mila. In Eretz Yisrael, their Minag is to follow, even Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, the Minag is to follow the opinion of the Rambam and other Rishonim that they do recite the Brach of Shechianu. And right after the Brach of Lachnisa Barisa Shel Avraham Avinu, he makes the Brach of Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Yiyanu Lazman Hazeh, which also is made by Sfardim. Sfardim, even in America, make that bracha, but we do it only in Eretz Yisrael. So those are some of the things that we say. We'll stop here for tonight. Next week, Emir Tzashim, we'll talk about some of the other kibudim. We'll talk about Kvater, we'll talk about Sandik, and then we'll talk about the conclusion of the Mila, which is the bracha, and the brachos, and the Kriya Sashay. Go ahead.